Back to wrap things up with you on a Friday evening. 4 hours of sports talk coming your way. Thanks so much for joining us. Zach Pah from Max Preps, who joined us in our last segment, along with Doug Socha, head coach of Kaiser University. And, you know, this is the time of year that everybody's looking in all the prediction columns, magazines, websites, everything to see which college team, other than obviously the Alabamas, Clemsons, and Georgias, will make a top 25 preseason team. And certainly Athlon's been around a long time, and they have been setting standards. Steve Lassen, college football guy from Athlon's, is kind enough to join us this evening. They just came out with their top 25 the preseason, and there are a few surprises down in the bottom, but up top, certainly it's what everybody else has. Steve, thanks so much for taking the time on a Friday night.
Hey, Larry, it's great to talk to you. I appreciate you having me on. You know, you said it best there. It's time to get ready for the season with Athlon Sports Top 25 kickoff less than a month away. So really exciting time for us college football fans.
Obviously, you look at how these teams finished in 2018. That's a huge factor in seeing which teams come back with players, and obviously there are a lot of them do. Some of the recruiting classes you look into, which athletes may be able to help some, you know, some of these programs that are kind of on the border. But you look at an Alabama and a Clemson, two teams that are used to being at the top for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and teams that are kind of running the college football world when it comes to recruiting during the season. From there, you look at the Georgias, the Michigans, the Ohio States. When you're looking at these, Steve, and trying to come up with a, you know, a fair top 25, what kind of formulas do you use? Do you use last year? Do you use everything I was just talking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we look at everything going into the season, and our top 25 that you see in the magazine and online is a projection to the end of the season. So, you know, if we did just a strict preseason list, it would probably look a little bit different. But, you know, that's why in our top 25, we have Michigan at number 4. If you ask me now, I would have Ohio State in there. But, you know, we look at schedule, we look at returning talent, we look at recruiting rankings, coaching changes, you know, depth charts. I mean, pretty much anything that you use to kind of break down a team. You know, you certainly start with kind of the last season and maybe the year before as kind of a baseline, but you do work from there. You know, you look at the talent they've brought in, coaching, you know, is it up, is it down, kind of the overall trajectory of the program. But certainly, you know, I like to think of it as kind of this, you know, almost like a vegetable soup. I mean, we're trying to get as many things in there as we can to break down these teams.
You know, Steve, when you take a look to, let's say you look at Alabama and Georgia being within the top 3. So that means that Alabama is going to play Georgia in the SEC title game, and that it'll be a close game, and they'll both go on, win their bowl games. So is that probably how it's formulated? Because they're within 2 spots of each other, so they'll probably run parallel all year. They'll play each other, like I said, in the championship game, and it'll be a close game, and both of them will get their jobs done. Obviously, it would be Alabama, the way you have it structured, be Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, and Georgia would be the final 4. And then you look at Ohio State and Michigan, which you have Michigan at 4 and Ohio State at 5. So obviously, it looks like that they would both, you know, come down to the end, play each other, be a close game, maybe Michigan to pull it out, and then Michigan goes on and plays Alabama, gives them a, you know, fairly decent game, while Ohio State goes on and plays Rose Bowl, wherever they play, finishes it off strong. So there's your top 5. Then you have teams like Oklahoma, which we know is competitive against everybody. Quarterbacks, 2 Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks the last 2 years, and now they got a kid who comes over from Alabama who's fairly like 27-2 as a starter. And then you have LSU, always strong defensively. You know, that's where their emphasis lies. They have a tremendous, you know, maybe one of the best defensive lines in the nation. So when formulating it, you take a look at all these, the schedules, the games. Talk about those teams. You know, know, I mean, because we're up to seven with LSU, and I think LSU's got a chance. You know, they have the talent to win, but they may not have the players to finish off a Georgia or an Alabama.
Yeah, LSU, you bring up a great case study because in terms of raw talent based upon recruiting rankings, you know, LSU is near the top of college football, but they just haven't maximized and developed this talent, especially on the offensive side in recent years. And that's the challenge for Ed Orgeron going forward. You know, they've talked kind of the last couple off seasons about making changes to the offense, opening it up more, and it does seem like they are. And that kind of plays into the SEC because you have LSU, you have Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. It is very deep at the top. And what we're saying is Alabama and Georgia are undefeated in the regular season, and they meet in the SEC championship game with Alabama winning a close one, and that close loss keeps Georgia at number three.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing with Michigan and Ohio State. That was really the tiebreaker. We think Michigan beats Ohio State in the last game of the year and gets to that fourth spot. We've had Oklahoma, you know, kind of in the playoff mix over the last couple of years. We've got them finishing number six. I think the big question for Oklahoma, once again, is going to be defense. We know they can score points, but are they going to be able to get stops and get back to the playoff? You know, they have the game against Texas. They'll have a tough road game against Oklahoma State. So I think Oklahoma is going to be fine offensively, but I do think that defense is a big concern. And this year, considering that Michigan and Ohio State, our projections put them both at one loss, we figured the winner of the Big Ten gets in this year over Oklahoma. But I do think just in terms of a big picture perspective, Alabama, Clemson are a step above everyone. Then you got Georgia, and then you got a kind of a big gap, I think, between Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, and Florida, and throw Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Texas in there. There's a big gap between the top kind of tiers in college football this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Talking college football with Steve Lassen from Athlon, and you know, you talk about Florida. That's you know, a subject down here with Miami and Florida going 3 weeks from tomorrow and the kickoff of the 2019 season. What about Florida? I mean, they've got athletes. Danny Mullen's come in and done a great job. I think that the kid Frank Felipe Frank showed what he could do last year. How do you see Florida this year?
You know, I think Florida's going to be pretty solid, but I do think there is a gap between Georgia and Florida in the SEC East. And I think when you break down this Florida team, you know, two of the biggest reasons why they improved last year was the arrival of Dan Mullen, not to mention the development of Felipe Franks. Felipe Franks went from, you know, being kind of a guy who was trying to fight for his job to potential all-SEC this year. And I think that Florida's going to need him to only get better because in terms of skill talent, Florida's got good running backs. They've got good receivers. The defense is going to be one of the best in the SEC. But that offensive line only brings back one starter. And I think they're going to be challenged in that opener against Miami, not to mention later in the season when they play Auburn, they play LSU. So much of Florida's season is going to hinge on that offensive line. I think Dan Mullen is probably one of the more underrated coaches in college football, but he's going to earn every dollar of that contract this year because that offensive line is such a big question mark.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve, we were just talking to Bruce Feldman, and I brought up Utah as a team that could really be a huge surprise. They're strong defensively. They got a really good group of seniors. Plus, they don't have to play Oregon or have to play Washington in the regular season this year. Talk about them as maybe being one of those come-out-of-nowhere teams that could push for a top-four spot.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, when we talked about the tiers, you know, the door is open for some kind of sleeper team to go 12-0 and put themselves in the conversation. And for Utah, they would have to go undefeated. You know, the non-conference schedule plays, they have a tough test against BYU, but there's not that marquee game that could get them in the conversation right away.
Right.
But, you know, defensively for Utah, always good. And this defensive line this year, I mean, they've got defensive tackles that can stuff the run. They get edge rushers. Their defense, if you like defense, watch Utah this year. But I think the key thing for Utah is going to be the offense this year. The offense has been a little bit inconsistent, but they've got a senior quarterback in Tyler Huntley, really think he's going to have a breakthrough year. And they've got Zach Moss, their running back, back from injury. And as you mentioned, the schedule is favorable. And when you're looking at a Pac-12 where Washington's got a lot of new faces, you know, Oregon brings back Justin Herbert, but there's some other question marks. You know, the door is open for Utah to get better on offense and run the table. So I think in terms of playoff sleepers, Utah would be near the top of my list this year.
Yeah. And before we let you go, UCF at number 22. A lot of fans down here. Talk about that.
I think they're the top group of five team once again, and certainly some challenges. You know, the front seven on defense will need to be rebuilt. Not to mention losing McKenzie Milton is huge.
Yep.
And of course, you know, Daryl Mack filled in well last season, but he's out early in the year. You know, I think Brandon Wimbush can execute this offense. And with just the way that UCF can put up points on people, that Brandon Wimbush can keep them going. But they're going to be tested. I mean, at Cincinnati, it's not going to be easy. You know, of course, Memphis, too, potentially in the conference championship game. So I think they're the best group of five team, but I think they'll be challenged. This will be a tough test for Josh Heupel without Milton in 2019.
Good stuff. Steve Lawton, Lassen from Athlon, thanks so much for spending some time. Love your list, and thanks so much for joining us on this Friday night.
Absolutely, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Which will bring to an end our Friday night show. 15 guests. You see, Danny GQ didn't think we could do it.
It's
we did
new
it.
New record.
New record. 15 guests. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.